Hello, friends. I'm Pastor Pitts Evans. Welcome to the Whole Word Podcast. Let's get right to the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 12. You are always righteous, Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak to you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them, and they've taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You're always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. How long will the land lie parched, and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked. The animals and birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. If you've raced with men on foot, and they've worn you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in a safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? Your relatives, members of your own family, even they have betrayed you. They've raised a loud cry against you. Do not trust them, though they speak well of you. I will forsake my house, abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me, therefore I hate her. Has not my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that other birds of prey surround and attack? Go and gather all the wild beasts. Bring them to devour. Many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field. They will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there's no one who cares. Over all the barren heights in the desert, destroyers will swarm. For the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. They will sow wheat, but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out, but gain nothing. They will bear the shame of their harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger. This is what the Lord says. As for all of my wicked neighbors who seize the inheritance I gave my people, Israel, I will uproot them from their lands, and I will uproot the people of Judah from among them. But after I uproot them, I will again have compassion and will bring each of them back to their own inheritance in their own country. And if they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, saying, as surely as the Lord lives, even as they once taught my people to swear by Baal, then they will be established among my people. But if any nation does not listen, I will completely uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. Jeremiah questions the Lord's justice. He's questioning why the wicked seem to be able to continue, and he himself is attempting to be a righteous man, and he's facing a lot of opposition and a lot of harassment from the surrounding people in Israel that don't want to hear what he has to say. But it opens this way, Lord, you're always righteous when I bring a case before you. So he's about to present his case. He says, yet I would speak to you about your justice. And so the inference is Jeremiah doesn't think the Lord is behaving in a just manner toward him. He says, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You've planted them and they've taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You're always on their lips, but you're far from their hearts. And so these people that are giving Jeremiah a problem seem like they're doing great. And Jeremiah said, yet you know me, Lord. You see me and you test my thoughts about you. You know, seemingly you're holding a different standard for me. And then Jeremiah says, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah is having issues with these people that are harassing him. He goes on to say, moreover, the people are saying he will not see what happens to us. Talking about God doesn't see what's going on. But the Lord responds in an interesting way. He gives what seems kind of a poetic response. He says, Jeremiah, if you've raced with men on foot and they've worn you out, How can you compete with horses? Let me just pause right there for a second. Obviously, racing with a man is easier than racing against a horse on foot. And so the imagery is, Jeremiah, what you've faced so far is like low-level harassment, low-level problems. And when the high levels come, it's going to be like you're racing against a horse. So now, if you've raced with men on foot while they harass you a little bit and they've worn you out, how can you compete with horses? In other words, how will you be able to face what's coming? And he doubles down on that. He says, if you stumble in a safe country, how will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? The thickets by the Jordan were notoriously perilous. They were dense with thorns. There were wild animals and so forth. And so if you're out in the open having trouble navigating, how are you going to manage in the deep jungle woods where things are perilous? And so God explains that much more trouble is coming. He says, I will forsake my house. I'll abandon my inheritance. I will give the one I love into the hands of my enemies. Verse 10, many shepherds will ruin my vineyard and trample down my field. They will turn my pleasant field into a desolate wasteland. It will be made a wasteland, parched and desolate before me. The whole land will be laid waste because there's no one who cares. Over all the barren heights, the desert destroyers will swarm, for the sword of the Lord will devour from one end of the land to the other. No one will be safe. They will sow wheat, but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out, but gain nothing. They will bear the shame of their harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger. And so Jeremiah started out by saying, why do the wicked prosper? Why do they seem to live at ease? And the Lord is explaining, Jeremiah, this is the calm before the storm. What is coming is utter destruction, and they're not aware of it, and they're not willing to hear it. And nevertheless, this is coming. He goes on to say that the neighboring countries will also face destruction. He says, as for all of my wicked neighbors who seize the inheritance I gave my people Israel, I will uproot them from their lands, and I will uproot the people of Judah from among them. So they're going to face some judgment and difficulty too. By the way, all that happened under the Babylonians. So even the surrounding countries are going to face the impending judgment that's being poured out, in part because they tried to seize the inheritance that God had given to Israel. In other words, rather than siding with Israel against the aggressors, they sided against Israel, trying to take their stuff. But even the surrounding countries can be restored and might be restored with repentance. The Lord says, after I uproot them, I will again have compassion and bring each of them back to their own inheritance and to their own country. And if they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, saying, as surely as the Lord lives, even as they once taught people to swear by Baal, then they'll be established among my people. In other words, the nations, the Gentiles surrounding Israel, could be incorporated into the family of God if they would serve the God of Israel. But he continues, he closes this chapter with this warning, verse 17, but if any nation does not listen, I will completely uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. And so this idea of siding with the people of Israel, siding with the people of Judah, versus trying to take their land, is actually in the news today, friends, around the world. There are certain nations that would like very much for Israel to cease to exist. They would like to take the land that Israel now calls its homeland, the biblical lands of Samaria and Judea included, and take them and redistribute them to other groups. The Lord says if any nation does these things, if they don't listen, then there's going to be a price to pay. And so, Lord, we pray for the nations of the world that surround Israel, some that to their shame covet their land, they're against your covenant people, Israel. Lord, we recognize that you will deal with the countries, every nation, in the ways that they deal with Israel. Lord, we recognize that Israel is not currently a Christian country or a godly country. It's a secular society, but nevertheless, the Jewish people living there are your chosen people. We ask you, Lord, that they would be established spiritually as your people, now and forever. And Lord, we ask that the nations would listen, God, so that you won't have to come and uproot and destroy them. Lord, help each nation and each person turn to Jesus Christ willingly. We recognize that your justice is perfect, and in the fullness of time, you will bring it to the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Whole Word. It was brought to you by Whole Word Fellowship and the Northern Virginia House of Prayer. If you were encouraged, please share our podcast with your friends. We'd also appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe in your favorite podcast app and take a few moments to write a review. If you'd like more information on our church and our ministry, you can go to wholeword.net or wholewordpodcast.com for more information. Thank you again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you today and always.